This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to WNRN, and special thanks for tuning in to the wake-up call. Levinson's 94.7 and Crozet's 101.1, Richmond's 103.1, Lynchburg's 89.9, Lexington's 95.3, Harrisonburg's 95.1, and 91.9 on everybody else. And Blue Ridge Graphics gets the early thank you for programming here on WNRN. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. Today's topic. What is today's topic? What did I sign today's topic? Oh, you know what? I had a lot of trouble identifying today's topic, so my guest can help me with that. I chose social and political issues for gays and lesbians. Let me introduce our guests, and then they can tell me just how right or wrong I was with that. Over on one side, we have Lisa Green, a Charlottesville Pride Board Treasurer, also serves on the Planning Commission. I have Amy... here from Charlottesville Pride president and organizer, and over stuck in the corner, Edward Strickler, recognized by Equality Virginia as an outstanding community organizer. Edward, how do you get that sort of notice?
Thank you for asking. Equality Virginia, most people don't know, is a statewide LGBT issues and rights organization. And they have every year a banquet and fundraiser where they call people to step forward as to be recognized as outstanding for doing something that year, and I was very fortunate and proud to be honored this past year. Equality Virginia is the statewide organization. Can I answer one of your very early questions?
Always.
About what you might have left out?
Sure.
The transgender folks and the bisexual folks. So the topic, I hope, will include gay folks, lesbian folks, bisexual folks, and transgender folks.
And I'm sure that it will.
Can I add something to that, too? People often joke about how it's the alphabet soup or, you know, how many letters are you going to add to LGBT. But we do also, I am the president of the new organization, Charlottesville Pride Community Network, and we do add Q to that as well. And different people interpret that in different ways, but some people do identify as queer, which is not something from my generation, but something from that is being embraced more and more and includes sort of a fluidity in terms of sexual orientation. So we do include that as well.
Lisa?
Yeah, I would like to add something to that. Yes, this is issues, social issues for the LGBTQ. But we also have allies that support us and, you know, may not fit with any of those letters in our alphabet soup. But it is there's a lot of support that we have been receiving from, I guess, heterosexual people.
Uh-huh.
So, no, what is that, H?
H. We should add H to that, absolutely.
And I guess that's, you know, that's I say that in a joking manner, whether that's fair or not, but that's part of the conversation today is, certainly part of my part of the conversation, some questions, et cetera, is the support given or not given on particular topics. Edward, you brought that up just before we came on today about how an organization that many would identify on one side of the fence, the aisle, whatever, Republicans and the National Rifle Association not speaking up for a particular group that would fall into the LGBTQ group, and how you are doing what you can to bring that up.
Well, I think I'll back up a little bit and say that for me, all of those allies are our parents, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our co-workers, are people that we are at faith communities with or play sports with. So that's everyone else, and we're a part of the everyone else too. And so that leads into your question right there. I didn't really say anything about partisan politics, so I didn't mention Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Socialist. I simply mentioned that sometimes our issues are missed because we're forgotten and not engaged in the conversation. So before airtime, I was suggesting that some people in the gun rights advocacy community, which have important points of view to add to the social discourse, miss that LGBT folks are often most at risk for violence in our society. Just in the month of August, I know a national group that I'm partner with shared that I believe there were 8 murders of transgender people, primarily transgender people of color, in the country. That is an astounding expression of how violent the lives of many LGBTQ people are. And if people that are advocating under the principle guns save lives, if you believe that, then guns should be saving LGBTQ lives too. So that's what I was mentioning earlier.
Let me jump in right into a basic question. I'm doing my research for today's show on social political issues for gays and lesbians and whomever I'm leaving out with that title, LGBTQ. And I'm doing my research, and I find that there are a handful of national studies being done where issues involving this organization are either at the bottom of the concern list or off the map, unlike in past years. Is that because it's the economy and other topics have moved to the top of the list because there are more people becoming, as the age changes, that it's just not a concern? It doesn't need to be on my list because I'm not bothered by it.
I think that is part of what's happening, Rick. Certainly in Charlottesville, one of the things that I've experienced and noticed is that there's an attitude both on the part of allies and of people in the LGBTQ community that everything's okay. And, you know, we're not in the 1960s or the 1940s or something. We're not walking down the street and having people yell slurs at us or, you know, overtly attack us. Now, it is different when we're talking about certain communities, and definitely transgender people are experiencing a lot of various degrees of reaction. But there's a very something that happens when you have really concrete and overt oppression that will bring up, you know, people fighting for their rights, you know, type of thing. And when you're dealing with things that are more subtle, it's harder to have them be like sexy issues that are out there. You know, like recently, I'm sure most people are aware, there was the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day that was called for by Mike Huckabee, and go have a sandwich at Chick-fil-A to support the stance of the CEO of that company because he gives money to anti-gay and anti-same-sex equality initiatives. He gives a lot of money to those things. So go do that. In that situation, you see that people want to protest. People get really upset. It becomes an issue. But the everyday boring situation of living without the same equalities as other people, you know, it's not exciting to talk about how, you know, my partner and I can't get married. We can't file taxes together. We, you know, have custodial issues with our children, you know, visitation rights in hospitals, all of this kind of stuff. It's not the same as like eating a sandwich and having, you know, this a big problem, a big fight, you know. So I think that is part of the problem. And I think also, I think there is a lot of acceptance out there. I think there is sort of like a lot of tacit okayness. The problem I feel with that is that, in my experience, I should say, not everybody's, that there's a sort of self-suppression The closet isn't anymore that you pretend like you're straight if you're gay. The closet is you just don't say too much about it, you know? You keep it to yourself. You're private. You don't really put it in anyone's face. And nobody really asks you. So the issues aren't really out there and discussed. And it's just not an open situation. And that's okay. And I know a lot of people are really comfortable with that. For me, what I feel is, A, it perpetuates a lot of ignorance, and also there is a sort of implicit shame or an implicit covering up of what my experience is as a person in this community when I if I'm not talking about it, if I just say I've got a friend as opposed to I've got a girlfriend, or do you know what I'm saying?
I do, and I found an email exchange as we were setting up today's program. Again, we are talking about social and political issues for gays, lesbians, what is B?
Bisexual,
transgender, queer, LGBTQ. And again, I continually, throughout the hour, will express my complete ignorance on much of the topic. And it's because to me, it's whatever you want to do with your life is fine with me. Mm-hmm, it doesn't matter. So, and this is what I was getting to, there's oppression, there's suppression, and there's the subtlety that goes mm-hmm. with it. And for me, maybe it's the subtlety that doesn't help. Because to me, it's like, fine, if that's how you want to live your life, if that's your sexual choice, God bless you.
And also, what's the big deal? Here's what happened. Here's my story.
But by me not doing it in a louder, more well-educated mm-hmm. manner, I'm not supporting you in the way that might be needed at this time.
And part of what happens, Rick, is that, okay, so I can pass, so to speak, as a straight person. And I can walk around the community and, you know, I go shopping. I might be talking to you. You might be totally cool with who I am, just as you just expressed. But I don't know. Right? So I'm constantly faced with the question, would this person be okay if they knew what my sexual orientation was or not? I don't know. Should I even risk saying? Does it even matter? I mean, you're constantly having that kind of background noise of not knowing. So because everything's just not talked about, it's a questioning. You're not just secure in like knowing no matter what happens, it's going to be fine. You know?
Lisa?
Well, my story's a little bit different. I mean, within the community, we have all the same issues as just everyone else. And, you know, when I go back just for a moment, you said, should we add H to that? And I was thought about that, and I was like, no, we should add A for ally, because it doesn't matter. I mean, even within the community, you know, we're all still allies of each other. And so it is everyone. But mine is a little bit different, you know, without a partner and family. It's different issues. And so I can exist pretty much throughout this community. And it just, I fell victim to that my own self, you know, being in Charlottesville and just kind of living my life. And there's a comfort to living like everyone else. And it's, being gay is not something that I wake up and go, okay, I'm gay. What do I have to do today? who can I not talk to? I don't live that way. And that is a comfort we do have in the city of Charlottesville and in this area. And so I stopped being, you know, and outwardly spoken about things. And so that is one of the reasons I've become involved in this new group, the Charlottesville Pride Community Network, and also been so involved in putting together the Charlottesville Pride Festival for this Saturday, is because I found myself becoming complacent, as complacent as everyone else, mm-hmm. and not saying, okay, you know, it's not that I'm not proud. It's just, it's a comfort with being able to just live my life and not have it. I don't have any worries about, and maybe that's just my own naivety, but I don't go to work and go, oh, well, you know, are they going to be okay? I'm not ashamed of who I am. And so I just live day to day, just like everyone else.
I guess my point was that you can make a choice whether or not to say something explicit. Like, okay, so at my job with my coworkers, they're all like super liberal, super friendly, super Democrats, whatever, okay? But I made a choice to actually say, you know, I'm in a relationship, or, you know, I am a lesbian. And as opposed to just not saying anything. But there are people I work with who don't say anything, and it's weird, you know, and it's not, and it's a very subtle, it's their choice, it's my choice. I mean, I'm making a specific choice to be very vocal about it. But it is, I mean, I've been in tears because even these very educated liberal people have asked me things like, well, why do you even need to be in an organization? And why do you care about this? And what's the big deal? And why do you even talk about this? And what do you mean you're a lesbian? You've got kids. And what do you mean? You know, I mean, there's so much like, and you really, you can't get married legally in Virginia. I mean, there's like a level of that. But then there's also just the experience of like talking to me and they're like, oh, can we talk about this in front of you? You know? Oh, she's looking at me. She's a lesbian.
I want to come back to that in just a minute as to what as to what topics they are concerned that they can't talk about in front of you. 11:17 here on the Wake Up Call. We are talking with Lisa and Amy and Edward, representatives from the Pride Community Network. There's going to be a Charlottesville Pride Festival coming up.
That's right.
Real quick, and we'll mention this throughout the hour, but it's this coming Saturday,
yes.
Right?
Lee Park.
Lee Park, that's downtown Charlottesville,
right?
Sort of behind that parking lot that's behind Hamilton's.
It's right next to the library.
Right mm-hmm. next to the library, thank mm-hmm. you. In the afternoon.
Two to six.
Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out to other listeners in other parts of the Commonwealth who are in your listening community, because I was born and raised in the Shenandoah Valley, and I think you have listeners over there. And other prides are occurring this fall as well. Roanoke Pride, September 16. The Virginia Statewide Pride in Richmond, September 29. And Elkton Pride in Rockingham County, October 7. And you can find out more about all of these, including the one here in Charlottesville, at equalityvirginia.org, equalityvirginia.org. So we're great to have this festival, and thanks so much to Lisa, Amy, and so many others that we can't even name because it would go on the whole show for Saturday, September 15 here in Charlottesville, but also Roanoke on September 16. Richmond in September 29 and Elkton in Rockingham County on October 7.
And people can go onto your website and get all these. I mean, not, they can
or
find
Facebook.
Out about the Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. Facebook.
But yeah, for the ones that Edward yeah. is mentioning as well.
Yeah, totally.
All right. 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call with our guests as we talk about social and political issues for the LGBTQ groups in our area. Let me thank the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-70s. How nice. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the low 50s. And then tomorrow, nice and sunny, highs 75 to 80. Right now, it's a nice-looking day outside, 61 in the valley, 69 in Lynchburg, 65 in Richmond, sunny and 64 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Herb Bennett from your Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield authorized agent. As your local agent in Central Virginia, Herb provides expert knowledge and personal service in designing your individual health insurance plan. Your health is worth protecting, and you shouldn't let it go uninsured. For a quote, you can give Agent Herb Bennett a call, 855-425-0090, or go online and visit agentherb.com. All right, back to our guests today, Lisa Green, Amy Sarah Marshall, Edward Strickler, as we talk about issues. Pride Community Network. Let's talk about Charlottesville for a minute. Amy, I believe you mentioned how, or it was Lisa, how comfortable, you know, you feel it's just not a big deal. There are some times and some places where you're not, you want to know whether it's a topic to bring up or discuss openly. But the vibe I got was that certainly compared to other places, Charlottesville is an okay place. But are there laws or safety concerns that make you say, well, let's not go there? I don't want to push that this far in terms of how okay it is.
There's certainly plenty of people who work either for the local government or state who I know personally, as well as business owners who stay very much private and closeted because they're worried about what kind of reaction or, I mean, you can still be fired for being gay in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So it's not like you can totally be safe.
I want to add that the context of being safe in a community involves a lot of dimensions, mm-hmm. including legal protections, including community attitudes, and also access to services. Mm-hmm. So I want to backtrack just one other thing you mentioned, Rick, in terms of our general lack of knowledge about a lot of LGBT folks, families, and communities. And that's in part because we never had good data. And we're only recently, in the last couple years, getting good population-based data about what's happening with LGBTQ persons, families, and communities. And one piece of data we have from an excellent research institute out in California, whereby we can, with the best data available, presume that overall U.S. population is about 3.5% gay or lesbian. And, of course, that's quite a variable among states and among different cities. So you might have Washington, D.C., that might have three times that, but overall, and then you might have someplace, North Dakota, that's less. So there's a big spread depending on where you live, what state or what city or what county, but overall, the U.S., maybe 3.5% gay and lesbian folks, and maybe 700,000 transgender people. So to answer one of your questions, why are there still issues? Well, that small number of people can't outvote anybody. That's not a voting base that can outvote anybody. So that's a part of the context of safety that relates to legal issues. We know that now I think a majority of the states have prohibitions on state recognition of gay and lesbian relationships and families. That is disastrous. And so when Amy and Lisa and others mentioned that, well, the allies out there, the people we work with, even our family members, presume that everything's just cool because they saw that marriage happened in Massachusetts or some other state. Well, that ain't here, and that ain't a half of the other states. And so when you don't have the protection of your relationship or your family, lots can go wrong. And in the case of Virginia, there is apparently a concerted effort to deny gay and lesbian families access to services. I can give you many examples, and you can ask me later or you can ask me now. But part of what I do is as a person raised in a rural community where we look out for each other, and as a person raised in a Christian faith community where we look out for one another, is try to find out where folks are not succeeding, where they're facing troubles and burdens. And I learned that we were to bear one another's burdens. And so in the process of learning how to bear one another's burdens, I and as others have found that there are many problems of lack of access to services for our community as well as other communities. And then if you're an LGBTQ of color or LGBTQ who lives in poverty, or if you're LGBTQ with a disability, it's even worse.
And, another thing, too, is I know here in Charlottesville, there's a disproportionate number of children in foster care who are gay, and a lot of that is because they've been rejected by their parents. And that still happens. And I think even if you're, like, a nice, you know, upstanding, you know, person who's like, I don't care what you do with your life, the fact that children end up in foster care, they end up on drugs and suicide. I mean, the rates, the numbers are there in terms of it being, it's disastrous to be rejected by your parents and to not have that support. And there, you know, we live luckily in a time where a lot of people are supported by their families, but there are still people who don't have that. I am one of those people. My mother does not talk to me or her grandchildren, and I don't have a lot of the same kind of security I might have if I had a family that supported me and accepted me. And I see that affect me monetarily as well as socially and in terms of, you know, just that general sense of having community is really tough. And that's why communities like Charlottesville Pride are important, because we don't all have to support a family, or, you know, thankfully there are faith-based organizations in Charlottesville, some of whom will be at the Pride Festival, who do embrace diversity, but not all of them do, you know. I mean, some people do get rejected from their churches. that's me again. So I think when you're looking at a gay person, you're a straight person, you're like, I'm fine with you. There's a lot of stories that might be there. There might not be, but there might be a lot of heartbreak and a lot of wounds and a lot of needs in that person's life.
So people like me, we can mark off the first checkbox on our list of not being anti, but we can't mark off the second box for actually doing anything that's very supportive.
One of the things, and people get annoyed with me about this, and I'm not at all implying that any other person agrees with me in what I'm about to say, because this is a personal thing for me, but there's this thing about tolerance. And I have begun to really hate the word tolerance, because when you tolerate something, you're putting up with it, but that doesn't mean that you are supporting it, loving it, embracing it, accepting it, you know, encouraging it. So there's a lot of tolerance that occurs, and you know, it's better than outright oppression. But I want more than that. And just as Edward was talking about bearing burdens, I want to feel not just like someone can put up with me, if I'm behaving and, you know, towing the line. I want to feel like there's support and understanding and encouragement. And I think the Charlottesville community can provide that.
11:28 here on the Wake Up Calls. We're talking with Amy Sarah Marshall, Edward Strickler, and Lisa Green about the social and political issues for the LGBTQ and Pride Community Network here in Charlottesville specifically. Today's programming supported by Dixon Disposal, family-owned and operated for 40 years. Dixon Disposal works to promote green awareness, and Dixon offers all-in-one can recycling, so you won't have to spend time sorting or trying to figure out if the items are recyclable. These recyclable items will not end up in the landfill. For more information on the all-in-one can recycling, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 978-2111. Speaking of calling, you can call in with your question or comment on today's conversation, 979-0919. If you're out of our area, it's toll-free, 877-967-6762. That's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Lisa Green here in the studio with us. I think Amy said something about it's still legal in Virginia to be fired because of your sexual orientation.
Correct.
Do you know that that's happening, or is that just a law that hasn't been changed?
Well, the thing about it, and what Edward said earlier, is the data is something that's hard to collect. This wasn't mentioned, but he is on the Human Rights Task Force Committee for the City of Charlottesville, and I happened to go to one of those meetings, and it's easy to collect data and on people of color, disability, and things that have an outward appearance. Sometimes being gay doesn't have an outward appearance, so it's hard to collect data. So I listened to his number about 3.7 gay people in America, and I'm thinking, okay, that's the number of people that will put the checkbox.
Right, that's the ones who owned up to
right.
it.
Right, and so what about those people that won't? You know, just like, you know, Amy said, you know, she can walk down the street and probably 9 out of 10 people would never guess that she was gay. And so you can live your life without having any kind of, if you want to, you know, be in the closet and
until
probably
you face a legal issue or something.
Until you face a legal issue, or you have children, or you know, have those other things, or the general public may not know, but if you're dealing with family issues and if you ever want to do anything with your partner in public, then you're having that issue. I had a very different experience. So I grew up.
Are you going to share that?
Let's hear it.
I came out in 1985 in North Alabama. So
that tells that there's a different story we're about to hear.
Well, I won't go into detail, but I've pretty much experienced everything you could possibly imagine coming out that early in life. I was 18, and in North Alabama. I mean, Alabama was one of those states that they wouldn't even air the Ellen show because she had come out. So the entire state of Alabama did a blackout for the Ellen show. So it was a very enlightening and trying time. And at that point, I didn't necessarily have family support, not support. They still loved me and they were there for me, and it was difficult for sure. But what I did was something very different. I just said, okay, I'm out. So I moved to D.C. So I could be in a community where, I didn't have to go through any of the other oppression that I went through in North Alabama. And I still have friends there. I know for a fact, in Tennessee and North Alabama and even in Nashville, which you think should be pretty progressive, that they won't go on Facebook. They won't go with any of their partners who they've been with for 13, 14, 15 years. They won't go to an office function. They go alone. So why should they have to go to something where everyone else has taken their family and they go alone? And they've been with someone for 15 years. And so it was a very different experience. And I don't live with my family, which I love very much, and they support me wholeheartedly. So I do have a different experience. I get a lot of support from my hometown community. I don't hide things, but I wouldn't be able to live there again.
Can I take off a little bit on those stories and give you some data, because I'm a guy that usually has data. And it's true that there used to not be any data or really bad data, but we now have better data. And so on the employment discrimination question, we actually have some good data that's from the 2008 General Social Survey. That's a national probability survey. That means that it has a high scientific validity. And from that general social survey with high scientific validity, 37.7% of lesbian and gay respondents said they had faced some kind of discrimination at work. Well more than a third. That is huge. And well more than a third said when they were out at work, they had experienced harassment in the workplace. And 9.2% in this highly scientifically valid survey said they had been fired because they were out at work as gay or lesbian. So these are data that suggest that there's something there's a problem and something needs to be done. Now, is what needs to be done legislation? I don't know.
Well, you had an issue that took place, I don't know if it was in the summer or in the spring, where the Virginia Republican part of the General Assembly wouldn't even allow a judge to take his role because, I guess, whatever the proper word is, promoting a Richmond prosecutor who was a known gay and who many expected, where it was just sort of that, oh, yeah, give him the job, there's no problems. He'd already been vetted. And the Republican Party brought this vote after midnight at a time when it was going to take place with the people who stayed behind so that he could not take the job because he was gay. And we're not talking about data where you're not sure whether you've gotten all the numbers or decisions that are made in a workplace that, oh, no, we didn't do that because you're gay. We did that because you haven't lived up to the standards that we set for you, but everybody else believes it was because you're gay. This comes out and people admit to it and own to it, and it's printed in newspapers across the state as to why it happened, because the man was gay. Mm-hmm. In 2012, in a state that has made sure decisions that we're not going to change this law, that you can't be fired because you're gay, and we've decided twice now, no, we're not going to change that. We're happy with what that law says.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing that you know, when I'm doing my research on this, is that I think one of the quotes that I got from this is that they didn't want to allow the judge to take his role because they thought that he would be an advocate for homosexual political points. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, why is homosexual advocacy bad if heterosexual advocacy is okay? Because isn't that what you're doing in that by making those decisions for that reason? 979-0919, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Call up with your question. Presidential political rolls coming up now, just 2 months to go. Is the Charlottesville Pride Community Network, is the LGBTQ group as a whole okay with what President Obama has done? Is there an obvious divisiveness between who folks in the LGBTQ group are going to vote for?
Let me step in and say that I'm not speaking for any organization because I'm just here as me. Therefore, I have probably a privileged role to be able to say what I want, but I won't necessarily. But nonprofit organizations certainly are nonpartisan, and they don't have they have knowledge to share about in the nature of education about political issues and social issues, but they don't endorse candidates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say, and this has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, whatever, but when Obama came out and said that he supported same-sex marriage rights, you know, a lot of people nationally were annoyed. I'm talking about gay people were just like, oh, too little, too late, and, you know, annoyed. And, of course, there's nothing – it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's a purely symbolic gesture. But I will say that symbols matter. We live in a culture and that where symbolism does matter, and I think that that did mean something on that level for people.
And I also want to add that you can go to whitehouse.gov, which is the White House's website. Everyone has a website, right? And you can click in LGBT and find out what the current administration has been doing or thinking about these issues. Among the things you would find is that over the course of the year, there has been a White House conference on LGBT health, on LGBT housing and homelessness, on LGBT safe schools and communities, on HIV/AIDS and the impact on LGBT communities, which is still very significant, and a lot of people don't know that, on a White House conference on LGBT families and on LGBT aging. And speaking of hidden communities, very often senior or disabled LGBTQ folks are very hidden because in part they come from a generational time when they didn't even learn the language how to talk about their issues. They may be victimized because they have a disability or frailty of aging. And one of the things, as I talked about earlier, about bearing burdens and finding out what's going on with folks that are vulnerable, I'm profoundly concerned about what's happening with LGBTQ communities' lack of access to disability services and aging services, even within Virginia Medicaid. I have a long letter email correspondence, including with a recent appointee by the governor to the board of that state agency, about how Virginia intends or does not intend to protect the rights of gay and lesbian households under Virginia Medicaid. There are some disasters that are going to happen if we're not attentive.
Lisa, you look like you have something. Well, I saw that deep breath. Like
Edward's right. You know, I guess we all have our personal views, but being here as a representative of a nonprofit, it is hard to express those. You know, if you listen to the candidates, you know, you can judge for yourself and know. And sometimes things are too little too late. But to me, too little too late would have been expressing support for the gay marriage, the, you know, people to have the ability to get married after the election. I mean, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. support was given at a time where it's pretty critical. Mm-hmm. And so it was before the election. It's during the campaign.
And one of the things that I saw was, and again, some of this is reading, actual going to the platforms and reading what the platforms are. And then I tried to go to a wide variety of people writing about what it all means, from Fox News to, you know, MSNBC and all the others, different blogs. is that the same-sex marriage is part of the Democratic Party platform, and something that wasn't changed from 2004 in the Republican part of the platform, still there, is that what they call ABC for AIDS, abstinence, be faithful, change behavior. And if you go back and read about it from 2004, and because it doesn't change, that is considered by most who will come forward and say so to be something that is against gay rights. Now, whether you consider that to be true now or not.
Let me jump in and say that one, there are different frames to look at these issues, and one frame would be political or electoral politics. Another frame could be legislation. But another frame that I often look at it is health, because everyone wants good health. Everyone deserves access to services that help improve their health or help them sustain their own health with their own responsible actions. And we do know from public health data that states that have legal and policy regimes that are oppressive of gay and lesbian people should expect higher psychiatric comorbidity. They should expect higher incidence of HIV. So when we relate the policy discussion to something that we all want, healthier lives, healthier families, healthier communities, because when we're all healthier, we reduce those costs of health care that's helping drive our states and our country into deeper and deeper debt. We all want better health because it's a good thing, and we all want better health for our communities because it helps us have a better society.
11:42 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about social and political issues for the LGBTQ group. That was Edward Strickler. We also have Lisa Green and Amy Sarah Marshall.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market for Tiger Fuels and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, the death of an Albemarle County mother and her three teenage children in a murder-suicide has devastated the community, leaving local parents struggling to help their children cope with a tragedy even adults can't grasp. What happened on Stony Point Road? UVA President Teresa Sullivan greets the faculty with the idea of merit pay. And The Hook has pictures from both recent political gatherings, President Obama at one spot and the Tea Party at another. The Hook. In case you didn't notice, the blind date challenge is making a comeback. Check it out. And support for WNRN comes from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. Fall apparel now landing at Blue Ridge. You can get ready for the autumn air with lightweight fleece jackets from Patagonia and the North Face. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville. They have two Richmond locations. For more store information, it's brms.com. Andrew Thompson will be here in just a few minutes for Noon's Les Temps Perdue. Best of 80s and 90s alternative, Drew brings the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we're going without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip back to the times gone by with Les Temps Perdue, only here on WNRN. All right, back to our guests, Lisa Green, Amy Sarah Marshall, Edward Strickler, as we talk about issues for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer groups. And again, before we get too much further, we do have there's the Charlottesville Pride Festival this coming Saturday. Amy?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention in regards to that we have over 700 people on Facebook alone saying that they're coming, and it was pointed out that a lot of people won't say on Facebook that they're coming to an event which would identify them as being LGBTQ, so that's pretty impressive. We're really excited. We have a lot of amazing vendors and performers and other entertainment folks who are going to be there this Saturday. Had a lot of support from TGB Law, as well as MS Events. Is that what they're called?
MS Events.
Thank you.
Whole Foods.
I thought it was cool that there was a specific notice somewhere on your – and what's your website again?
SevillePride.org.
SevillePride.org. There was a specific notice on there about how there were wedding type planners or not planners, but wedding related vendors who are going to be there. Who wants to?
Photographers and florists, and there's even a real estate agent guy and a woman who does dresses. Yeah,
but it mentioned that there have been past issues. I don't know if it was once and that brought about the whole story or whether there were multiple, where there are vendors who will not assist, will not take the business because it's from a couple who falls into the alphabet soup category.
That's right. That's right. There have been people who have wanted to have a cake or whatever and been turned away. Again, it comes to that. You never know when you walk into a place whether they're going to be cool with it or not. So we wanted to make it clear who is cool with it, who's LGBTQ friendly. And that's why we're really excited that we have businesses like Moxie. They're going to be doing a bunch of fun stuff. Mountain Cove Vineyards, that's a place where people can get married as well. Edgecombs Imported Auto, they're a big sponsor for us, as well as diversity groups in MillerCoors and LexisNexis, as well as the city of Charlottesville. I also want to mention Wine Made Simple, Birch Studio, and The Hip Joint. All of these people have made it possible for us to have this amazing celebration this coming Saturday.
And I wanted to mention, this is our first ever Charlottesville Pride.
Yes.
So
it really seems behind the times, doesn't it?
It does.
That's
seem by
our phrases, it's about time.
Yeah. Everybody we've talked to about this literally
just
says,
assumed. Haven't we done this before? I would have assumed that we have.
And it said, it's about time.
It is.
Everyone, that's the first statement that's made. So that's our theme, and it is the first one, and we are behind the times because Roanoke's had their pride for a while. And
Elkton and Rockingham County coming on October 7th.
And some of those people are going to be there, too, which is really exciting. You mentioned that the Elkton people.
So the Charlottesville Pride, you know, and I almost said your, and I have to stop doing that, right? I have to consider myself an ally in some way.
And that is, there are two things about this that are making me excited. One, that LGBT people, people who have been in the closet or who have just been kind of keeping in their quiet corners, they're going to come out there and see the community, because a lot of people who come out in Charlottesville or arrive in Charlottesville look around and say, where are the gay people? Okay, so we're answering that question. Here they are. So I'm super excited about that. And mostly that's me. I'm like, where's the gay people? And then the second thing is that we are having allies. We're having all these straight people, you know, come out and say, we are for you. We support you. We want to give you our business. We want you to come to our establishments, and we want to show you that we're there. I've had so many people who I know sort of tangentially who have expressed so much encouragement and support that it really is a pride festival, you know, and it is about Charlottesville saying out loud, as opposed to just sort of the tacit assumption that this is an okay place to be gay, and it's we're for everybody here, you know.
I want to ask Amy a quick question. Amy or Lisa, do you still need volunteers? This is a good time to call out for volunteers.
Yeah, we could probably use some.
Definitely need volunteers.
You always need volunteers. I've learned from nonprofits being in the studio, you never have too many volunteers.
That is correct. And too many donations. We never have too many donations.
That's
so you can go on our charlottesvillepride.org.
Yeah, there's going to be raffles, all sorts of free stuff. And
music. I'd love to hear about the music.
My favorite phrase was rainbow bling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bella Morte, Ursula Goathouse. Oh, my goodness.
Well, in any case, when I looked at the music lineup, it was all afternoon, which is pretty spectacular.
Oh, yes.
And our host for the event is Dave Norris, and he's very excited about hosting the event.
Charlottesville Mayor, he's been on the show multiple times, typically involved in a church-related function. I mean, not always. He's come on as mayor, but he's also come on and suddenly the name of the organization escapes me, where the church that he's there representing is assisting the homeless throughout the winter.
PacHem. Yeah. Yes, PacHem and TJMC.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention about the festival, too, is not just about retail vendors and things like that. I mean, we have a lot of people that will be there, groups that will be there that are support groups. PFLAG will be there. ROSME will be there. It's a group for teens and young adults.
PFLAG is Parents, Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and it's a support group. Yeah.
The Human Rights Task Force Committee and Dialogue on Race will have a table there for people to find support
Let me jump into that. Let me do this real quick because I need to thank everybody on WNRN's side of things. Support also coming from L. Oppelman's Pawn Shop today, serving Lynchburg families for over a century at 909 Main Street. L. Oppelman always has a selection of jewelry, including estate jewelry and hand-picked GIA-certified diamonds, loose or mounted, plus gold and platinum wedding bands. L. Oppelman has cultured pearls and watches. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. Again, we are talking with Amy Sarah Marshall, Edward Strickler, Lisa Green about the social and political issues for gays, lesbians, bisexual, transgender, and queer. I'm sorry, I'm just used to LGBTQ. And the upcoming Charlottesville Pride Festival is coming Saturday, the 15th, and Lee Park. From 2 to 6 in the afternoon.
I have to mention there's going to be a bouncy castle. So,
oh, a bouncy castle.
And the Whole Foods truck, so you can get food there. And Pantheon popsicles.
Lots of food, lots of fun, lots of stuff for kids.
Let me get back to some of the topics, I guess, the social and political issues. Talked about, and I think it was Edward who brought up the seniors and some of the concerns there and the families. Is I found a little news piece about how a gay couple and their son had their gym family membership revoked in Roanoke because they didn't meet the Virginia definition of family, two gay males and their adopted son. But now that business went back and changed their definition of what family meant to do so, to do. But there are so many insurance companies, state laws that don't allow for such or have not changed their definitions, which have serious effect on seniors. And Edward, you were talking about health, decisions that need to be made when one member of the couple is in the hospital and the partner is not allowed to participate in that, et cetera. Who wants to jump in and talk about that and how what efforts are being made to bring those forward and possibly make changes in the upcoming?
Well, I just want to say once again, we can give some state agencies or local agencies a bit of a pass when we say that maybe they didn't have good data in the past, but now we have increasingly good data. And for example, I recently went to the Commission on Youth's pages with the Commonwealth of Virginia and read a wonderful document they have there about best practices of working with youth. I couldn't find a single mention of LGBTQ youth, even though the data, medical data, public health data, really require us to think about them as a special population.
But do you need to define that? I mean, let's assume that things are going well and that that sort of behavior is being included. Do you need to specifically mention that?
Yes, for public health reasons, you absolutely need to. For medical reasons, you need to mention the special needs of special communities.
Lisa?
And until you go to a federal level and change the legislation that states what discrimination is, you know, it's not just race, sex. It's you have to add the words sexual orientation.
And gender identity.
And I think it's really, really crucial to call that into question. Not just say, oh, we're looking after everybody, because it is very everybody's been a teenager. You know what it's like. You're figuring out who you are. It's a very, very crucial time. And if we want to have, like, a community of adults who are psychologically well, people need to be supported in figuring that out.
11:54 here on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetfire Amherst Lynchburg. Talking about issues for gays and lesbians in not just in our community, in all communities. You know, you talk about specifically mentioning sexual orientation because it's not done so on a federal level, and so you need to do that on a state level. Both party platforms are strong against crime. Neither one of them says anything about crimes against LGBTQ groups.
Well, there's that. I mean, the crimes against the LGBTQ is not also just, you know, just isn't, it's not just about that. If you've, you know, you've done some research on some news, there's even a a religious organization in, I think, Oklahoma that is boycotting the funerals of soldiers because our government repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law.
Well, they're not boycotting. They're actually protesting with hateful signs. Dead veterans.
Against soldiers.
Against our soldiers because our government repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law. So this is not, yes, the LGBTQ community is at the forefront of that, but we're at a point now where everyone's being discriminated because of the, you know, LGBTQ issues. Our soldiers who protect, they're not gay.
And they're dead. And why would these people bother to protest with hateful signs at a funeral of a dead veteran? It's really unbelievable. So to answer your question briefly, you know, we can argue or have different points of view about how laws should protect against hate crimes or against discrimination. But I think we can all come together across the political and social spectrum and religious spectrum that we all want to end violence of all kinds. And if we can end hate violence, we can end structural violence. That is, structural violence would include policies and laws that keep people from getting services that they need. That's a type of violence. There are many types of violence. I think, can't we all agree as Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Socialists, whoever, that we should work together to stop violence against all people?
Hear, hear.
I find that hard to believe that everyone is going to say that, because there are far too many people who say, no, sometimes violence is necessary. Although, not my point of view, but I believe if you put 100 people in a room, there's going to be one jackass who stands up and says, no, sometimes we have to do that. And I hope that whoever's listening, you're not the one. Well, actually, I hope you are listening, because maybe we changed your mind during the hour to at least go explore that a little better. 11:57 here on the Wake Up Call, just a few minutes left. With Amy Sarah Marshall, Lisa Green, Edward Strickler. Where do you walk out the door today? What is your first step to do? Do you try and change a law? Do you try and gather more allies? What do you do next, Amy?
Well, my focus really with the organization, Seville Pride, and with the festival is definitely, as we're talking about, bringing allies into the equation, because it is, I feel, in this time becoming more and more that people have to pick a side. Unfortunately, it feels divisive, and it's not a political party divisiveness. It's this divisiveness. Are you going to choose the side of peace and love or not? And so I think people need to make choices, and they need to make choices in a positive, overt way. And so that's what I'm supporting.
Lisa?
Well, we've got a week left till the Pride event, so this week I'm going to be working hard to get this Pride event to take place. But after that, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's talking to our political leaders and see if we can't, you know, start from here and move forward to a state level.
Edward, you got 30 seconds to tell us what you're going to do for the rest of your life to make this all come true.
Well, I'm the oldest one here, so maybe that's shortest time. But I want to accentuate the affirmative and positive and the good, like this beautiful day and these lovely people in this studio and all our lovely listeners. Accentuate what's good and try to diminish what's bad and harmful.
All right. Thanks to the three of you for coming on today.
Thank you so much.
You can find the show, if you joined us late, Seville Podcast. We'll have it up, if everything goes well, within a couple hours. Next week, Lee Channing will be here. Get all your calls ready for our psychic Lee Channing. And the fundraiser coming up in just a couple weeks. Again, Amy Sarah Marshall, Lisa Green, Edward Strickler here. And don't forget, they're putting together the Charlottesville Pride Festival Saturday, September 15th. So that's 6 days away. Charlottesville's Lee Park, 2 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon. CharlottesvillePride.org.
That's right.
Go onto the website and check it out for more information. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. You views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.